Start on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Okay. So we mentioned last week that the progression of Perek Ben Sora Mora goes from the halachas of Ben Sora Mora. There's three or four Mishnayos on that. And then on the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, there's the famous Mishnah of Ben Sora Mora Nidon Al Shem Sofo. That the Ben Sora Mora is obviously not guilty of any capital crimes now. He's judged based on what he will do in the future. And therefore, we say, Yomu Zakai Va'al Yomu Schaiv. Let him die now rather than let him die once he is already guilty of capital crimes. And then the Mishnah has on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis the famous contrast between Rishayim and Tzadikim, and they say that misasan shel Rishayim hana lahem v'hana la'olam, that the death of Rishayim is good for them because they can't continue to sin, and it's good for the world because the world doesn't have to put up with them any longer, and you know their sins don't have to detract from the overall merits of the world. And we said on the other end, latzadikim ra lahem v'ra la'olam. When it comes to tzaddikim, it's bad for them and it's bad for the world to die. Right? Rashi says, what's the pshat? So he says, ra lohem, Rashi says on the bottom there, shehoyu mosifin zechuyos. If they would have been alive, they would have done more mitzvahs, more Torah, more everything. So, and ra lo'olam, it's bad for the world, shehoyu maginim al doram, umochichim es adoros. Right? So they would have, he says, I think, one spiritual pshat and one practical pshat. The spiritual pshat is that the presence of the tzaddik protects the generation, and the practical pshat that they would give tochacha to the people who were alive at their time. They would set a good example. They would tell people what they needed to hear, and therefore it was good to have them around. Right? There's recently in the Daf Yomi came up in Erechin that they talked about that sometimes the parnes is great and the door is not so great, and therefore talked about the door of Tzidkio versus the door of who was the other one? Yoyachin, where he was a Rasha and his door was Tzadikim, so therefore it worked out in both either case. So you can have also that Tzadik is a Parnes for his generation, and he can his mere presence will cause the din to come out in a positive sense. Okay, and they continue. They list off all the famous contrasts. We said that Yayin Vishena. Right, wine and sleep. L'rishayim hanol lehem hanol olam. When they're sleeping, it's good for them. It's good for the world because you know, get them drunk and have them go to sleep. They won't hurt anybody. Right, where l'tzadikim ra lehem v'ra olam. They can't do anything good. It puts them out of commission. Pizur l'rishayim hanol lehem hanol olam. L'tzadikim ra lehem v'ra olam. Being scattered is excellent when it comes to rishayim, but terrible when it comes to tzadikim. Right, and kinus the opposite. Having a gathering, la rishayim ra lehem ra olam, tzadikim ano lehem ano olam. And sheket, peace and quiet, la rishayim ra lehem ra olam, that's when they stir up the most mischief, when things, there's not enough excitement going on. Right? La tzadikim ano lehem ano olam. But when it comes to tzadikim, finally, they get some free time. They can actually sit and learn benachas and do mitzvahs, benachas, whatever they wanted to. So it's good for them, right? And then the Gemara on Ayin Beis quotes basically the exact same thing, that it's sofo melasti misabrios, and then they have the Braisa there repeats the entire list, leaving out, I think, kinos for some reason. I don't know why.
What is he going to go on to do? He's been so remorse.
So that's a good question. If you look in the Rambam, in the Pirush Mishnayos, he actually writes that he's going to be guilty of murder eventually. Well, the way that let's take a look in the Brice actually and Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, then we'll look in the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos. But he says the Tanya Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer v'chim ipnei she'ochal zeh tartemar bosa v'shasa chatzi lugyayin etalki amra Torah yetzel abezin lisakel. What, because he ate a certain amount of meat and he drank a very negligible amount of wine. Chatzi lug, let's say it's about between 6 and 8 ounces. It's nothing serious. He stole money from his parents, or he stole the food from his parents, and he went out and he bought something, and he ate it. That's so horrible. Ella, rather, he gia Torah l'sof daito shel ben Sora Mora. The Torah, in its Ruach HaKodesh, decided that this is, like we said last week, this is the one time where we can predict the future of a person unequivocally. And we say that that this is the end of the line for the Ben Sora Mora. What's going to come? Shesof Migmar Nichse Aviv. He's going to plow through his own father's possessions. He's not going to have anything to steal from his parents anymore. Umavakish Limudo, and he's going to want what he's used to. Ve'eno Motzi, he's not going to have it. V'yotze L'proshes Drachim Umalastim Esabrios. So he's going to end up standing by the crossroads and terrorizing people. So he'll become a highway robber to get what he wants. So Amra Torah, Yomu Zakai Val Yomu Schayim. And then they go through Shemisos and Shel Rishayim, etc., etc. So this is what the Gemara says. He's going to be Omid Al-Proshes Drachim Umalastim Esabrios. Right, that he's going to become this this terror on society. So, I mean, the Rambam of the Pirush Mishnayos, in this edition of the Gemara, they have it right after the Piskei Tosas, the first thing, before the Rush even. Usually in most Gemaras, in the old school, they have the Rush first, and then the Pirush Mishnayos of the Rambam. But if you want to take a look, it's in this edition, it's on Kuf Tezayin, actually going over to Kuf Yud Zayin. It's on Kuf Yud Zayin in this edition of the Gemara here. So he says it's on the inner right hand column, a few paragraphs in. Habab Mach, sorry, Ben Sora Mora Nidon Hashem Sofo Yomazake Vachule. So he says Nidon Hashem Sofo Klomar Ki Torah Heida. The Torah is testifying about the following case: Mishu Hu Bimei Katnuso Me Rova Taiva Bezeh Tachlis Sheamar I Efshar LeBesol Sheamar. So he says, this guy, the Torah is telling you it is impossible that he will not eventually become a thief and a murderer in order to accomplish his ends, to satisfy his desires. Right, and then he says, V'Hashem Yisbarach Tziva, She'yehareg Mipnei Zeh V'yehareg. Should kill him before he kills others. It's basically like, as we'll see, like it's a very strong link to the Bab Machteris, according to the Rambam. The Rambam actually has a double link, meaning we say the Bab Machteris is Nidon Hashem Sofo. So the Rambam is taking a little bit of a poetic license, I think, with the link between the Mishnayos. And he's saying it's a twofold link. Number one, it's that obviously the Ben Sora Mora is Nidon Hashem Sofo. And the Bab Machteris is Nidon Hashem Sofo, so that's, you know, Gzeira Shava Hashem Sofo. But more than that, it's that the Torah is telling you this is what's going to happen to the Ben Sora Mora. Essentially, the Rambam, the way the Rambam wants to learn is the Ben Sora Mora is a predicted murderer, so therefore let's kill him now before he kills somebody else. Correct. No, there's no way to understand it in light of the technical details. There's no way to say that, like, makes sense logically that only if his parents look alike and sound alike and whatever, and he's within a certain age group, and that is just, you know, us darshaning the psukim a certain way, and specifically darshaning the psukim in a way that limits the scope of Ben Sora Mora. There's a Tosfos early in the Masechta mentions this, he showed that there are times when we apply the Hitzilu Ha'eda even in the way we darshan the psukim. So when it comes to who you give Misa to, then we always darshan the psukim themselves to be the most limited way possible. You know, not to the extent that we're allowed to be intellectually dishonest, but if there's a possibility to darshan this way, a possibility to limit it, so we limit it. That's the way we do it by all murder cases, except for a few times when the Torah tells us not to. Not to have any rachmanis like a mesis or something like that. So now we come to the case of the Bab Machteris. So the Mishnah on Ayin Beis starts off, Abab Machteris Nidon Hashem Sofo. Abab Machteris is also Nidon Hashem Sofo. Then the Mishnah gets into another a detail of that. Hayabab Machteris V'shiver Esachavis, he's coming in the Machteris and he breaks a barrel. Meaning, if he was in a situation of what we call in the Torah, yesh lo damim, that his life is not forfeit, you're not allowed to attack him, you're not allowed to kill him, so then he is chayev to pay for any damages that he did while he was there. Whereas if he's in a position of ein lo damim, he's in a position where his life is officially forfeit, and you're allowed to kill him, then he doesn't have to pay for any damages that he committed while he was there. That's the concept, the standard concept of kim lebe d'rab mine, that when someone is chayev misa and mamon, so he gets the misa, he doesn't pay the mamon. Okay, that's already a separate topic the Gemara has in the middle over there, in the middle of the Amid, but we'll save that for a different time. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, my time of the machteris. What is the reason of machteris? So Rashi just explains, what is the reason? Shamar Torah ain lo damim. What's the reason you're allowed to kill the guy? Klomar, harehu lecha kemisha ain lo dam, uneshama umutu lahorgo. Why does the Torah say that this guy is viewed as a walking dead man and you're therefore allowed to kill him? What do you mean?
That, like, you view as if he's not alive. Not
right.
That you view as like a rodef.
Well, that's the thing. A rodef is viewed as a gav, what we call a gavra ketila. He's already viewed as a walking dead man. So, because Enoch Inami, he's not chayav misa in the classic sense. You can't say that he's, you know, so that's a question. Meaning, is there kimle?
Is he alive, but there's a heter to kill him? Or once that heter is there, then it's as if he's not hearing him?
Right, so you have to say the Pashup Shad, at least the way Rashi's phrasing it, is that at least for this one halacha, he's viewed as if he's not alive. The question really is that an onesh? We'll have to deal with that hopefully in 2 weeks or so. We'll deal with that question. When it comes to any kind of rodef, is the ikur when it comes to killing a rodef, meaning the standard chakira, there's a very famous piece in one of the Achronish Svarim, the Afike Yam. So he has this piece where he elaborates greatly on this issue. Is the reason you're killing the rodef a din in hatzolas hanirdaf, or is it a din in onesh for the rodef? Is it a misa for the rodef? So obviously, like most things, you know, it's a little bit of both. It's hard to say it's completely one way or the other way. But, you know, along the journey, you learn a lot. So it's a good journey to have, even if you're going to come to the conclusion that it's neither one nor the other. But there are Rishonim that seem to indicate that it's purely one or the other. So here, in the case of the Bab Machteris, it's not necessarily a pure case of Rodef anyway. Meaning it's a hypothetical Rodef, as we'll see. But it's not, so it's really perhaps even one step removed from that. But the way the Torah phrases it, you have on the inside of the margin there, inside of the page, they made the Torah or where they give you the whole pasuk now. So he says, "Imba machteres yimatze hagana v'hukav ames ein lo damim." Right, the first case is it's formulated: if he gets killed, then ein lo damim, meaning there's no retribution for the fact that you killed him. Right, and then the next pasuk says, "Im zorcha shemesh alav damim lo." If the sun shines on him, then he has damim. Shalem mishalem im ein lo v'nimkar b'gnei. And if he does any damage or steals something, then he has to pay it back. And if not, he gets sold as an eved. So we'll see shortly that there's an idea that if zorcha Hashem shalav, then it's a case of yesh lo dam. But that's when the Gemara asks, what's the reason of machteris? What we mean to say is, what's the reason that you're allowed to kill him? So the Gemara answers, Chazaka ein adam mamid atzma mamona. A person will not stand by and watch his money get stolen. Vahai mei maromer, and the ganav will say to himself, Iazilna koi la poi. If I go to steal from him, he's going to stand up in my face. Velo shavikli, he's not going to leave me alone. Vi koi la poi katilnale, and if he gets up in my face, I will kill him. So the ganav is threatening the life of the balabais. Torah Amra, and the Torah says, Imba lehargecha hashkem lehorgo. The Torah says, if someone comes to kill you, you should kill him first. It's an interesting question. Where on earth does the Torah say that? We don't necessarily find the Torah saying that anywhere. So I think, right. So some Rishonim say that this is it. This is meaning, it's not, it's, in other words, if you read the Gemara, I would have thought the pshat is the Torah elsewhere has a klal in Bala Hargech Hashkem Largo, but there is no elsewhere, right? There is no elsewhere. There's only this din of Bab Machteris. So it's hard to say that the Torah says if someone comes to kill you, you kill him first. So it's learned out from somewhere else. It's learned out from here. But on the other hand, the flow of the Gemara is not great. So I saw quoted that there's a Mechilta. The Mechilta says we learn it out from the Psukim. What is it in Pasuk? The Pasuk is in Parshas Matos, where Hashem commands the Jews, Tzroris Hamidyanim ki Tzorim Heim Lachem. You should go and take out your vengeance on the Midyanim and afflict them because they're trying to do it to you. So he's saying that's the meaning. What are you just going to go kill a whole bunch of Midyanim? So in other words, the Pasuk doesn't use the Lashon Kitzaruru Heim Lachem. Doesn't say they did it to you in the past, right? But it says go out and fight them because they're currently fighting you. So it's the klal of Imbar Lahargecha Hashkem Lahargo. So you're doing it as a preempted strike. You're not doing it in order to take revenge, right? We are also told Nikom Nikmas Hashem or Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael, depending on the Pasuk. But we're told also there is a concept of taking revenge on the Midianites. But this is not what it says in that Pasuk. It chooses the Lashon of you're allowed to fight them because they're currently fighting you. So perhaps that's a different Makor, although you don't find that quoted in the Gemara anywhere. Right, so in a chinami, you could argue that that's true, but and we have such a svara coming up shortly on the ayin dalet. But we have such a svara. But lemaisa, the Gemara uses the lashon v'hatora umra, meaning the Gemara doesn't say it's a svara. The Gemara says it's a svara when they said, "How do you know you can't kill the other guy to save your own life?" Then we say the svara of maichazis or miyemar, whatever you want to call it. But the over here. It doesn't say it's a svara. It says va'atora amra. So clearly the Gemara thinks that there is an allusion to it in a pasuk somewhere. So the pashup shot is that this is the source and it's just saying it in a poetic kind of way. The Torah says do this. But in other words, the pasuk of Ein Lo Damim says kill him first. As opposed to the Mechilta, which seems to say we learn it from elsewhere. But either way, there's clearly the Gemara thinks that there is a source in the Torah for this din.
This case is maybe, like you said before, is one step removed.
Right. It's definitely one step removed.
He's come to steal from you.
Right.
And then from there, when you make the
leap. Right. It's important to keep in mind that if you would be watching the security tape of a Bubba Machteris killing, it would look horrible for the Balabais. It would be somebody sneaking around, coming out of a tunnel, or nowadays, like the climbing in the second story window, or coming in. I heard stories of when they cut a hole through the roof and they lower themselves down through the roof, and this is really so you would basically see the security video of the guy coming through and emptying out the drawers and the Balabais literally stabbing him in the back or cutting his throat from behind or something like that, which is doesn't look good for the Balabais, but that's exactly the cheshbon is all behind the scenes. The cheshbon, again, the way the Gemara spells it out is. Says ain on the mamet atzma mamono, so therefore the ganav says to himself, "Oh, you have to." I forgot to make the Gemara copy. If you want to grab a Gemara, I have another one here. So the Gemara makes the cheshbon that if the ganav says to himself, he's not going to stand by and let me steal from him. Therefore, if he stands up against me, I'll kill him. And in retribution, the Torah says that you can kill him first.
Whose life is at immediate risk is
Ghana,
not the Balabai.
Right. Well, twofold.
He's going to kill me, and if he's trying to kill me, I'm going to kill him.
Right. Well, no, so it depends. What is the Ghana saying? He won't leave me alone and let me steal from him, and therefore I'll kill him, or he's going to try to kill me? That's the question. Right? That's the Machlokis Rishonim. If you look in Rashi says clearly that the Chazaka ain't on the Mamet Atzma Mamono, Sheroa Sheacher Notlo. The shosik. He's not going to stand there and watch someone steal his money and say nothing. Hilkoch yodea haganav hazeh shebalabayis omer al mamono lahatzilo. He knows that the balabayis is going to try to save his money. Umeimar amar haganav iazilna legabe koi ba'apoi v'koi katilna le. Right? So the gana says to himself, if he tries to stop me, then I'll kill him. Meaning he doesn't say that the guy's going to try to hurt me. He's going to try to kick me out. I was conflicted in whether or not to do a unit on the non-related, non-Sanhedrin topic, Bava Kama topic of Ovid Inish Dinil and Avshe. because that's an equally practical case, meaning without getting involved in the nefashos aspect of it, what about just chucking the guy out the door or beating him over the head with a bat until he gives up? Something to that effect. That's really the sugya in the beginning of the third parak in Bava Kamma, where they discuss, are you allowed to take the law into your own hands and under which circumstances? And if you are you actually allowed to physically remove the guy, or do you have to simply, is talking about, let's say the guy stole from you, are allowed to just steal it back? Or are you allowed to, you have to take him to court, dafka, something to that effect. Meaning, Kol Dalam Gavar is a psak of the Beis Din, but that doesn't go on outside. Outside would be called Avid Nishtina L'Nafshe. That would be different. So Kol Dalam Gavar is one of the great mysteries of halacha. I don't really claim to understand it. So Rashi says, basically, he's going to try to stop me, and therefore I'm willing to kill him so that I don't get stopped. I put in too much time and too much effort into this robbery, and I'm not willing to back out now. I've been casing the place. I thought the guy was not here. He really is here. I thought he was a heavier sleeper than he really is, and I'm not willing to back down. And therefore, the Torah says, "Ein lo damim umulamedcha me'acher shehu ba lohargecha hashkem ata lohargo." So Rashi is being very clear that we learn that from the words "Ein lo damim," meaning that when it says "Vahatora amra," it's talking about this pasuk. Talking about this pasuk. So that's the standard approach, as we said, notwithstanding the Makota. So that's the first part of the Gemara. I just wanted to see the last part of this little sugya here. Skip to the bottom, about five lines from the bottom, in the middle of the line, Tana Rabbanan. So they quote a brisa. The middle part is the Kimle B'Derabimine part, which requires more focus than we have today for this issue. Tana Rabbanan, Ein lo damim. So we quoted the pasuk that we saw before. Ein lo damim zorcha Hashem shalov. He has no blood. And then we said, if the sun shines on him, then yesh lo damim, right? So he's saying, wait a minute, what does that mean if the sun shines on him? V'chi Hashem eshalav bilvad zarcha, does the sun only shine on him? Ella, what's the pshat? Im baru l'cha adover kishemesh, she'ein lo shalom imcha hargeyu. V'im lav alta hargeyu. If it is clear as day, clear as the sun, that the person is coming and he's going to be violent, ein lo shalom imach, he's going to be violent against you, then you may kill him, and if not, you may not. So meaning the default position when someone comes to rob you is, unless you see the gun, you may not attack him. If you see the gun, then you can attack him. You have to know that he's a violent criminal. That's one brisa. Then we have Tanya Idach. We have another brisa, which is exactly the same, except for one major difference. Im zorcha Hashem eshalav, damim lo. If the sun shines on him, he has blood. V'chi Hashem eshalav bilvad zorcha? No. Elo im baro lecha kashemesh, sheyesh lo shalom imcha, al tehargeyu. Vim lav hargeyu. So the brisa says there, no, the default position is you may kill him. If it's clear to you that he is nonviolent, then you can leave him alone. So he said, Kasha stama stama. So it's a stam brisa against the stam brisa. So Gemara answers, lo kasha, it's not a kasha. Going over to Amid Beis. Kan ba'av ala ben, kan ba'ben ala av. So one is talking about av ala ben. If the father comes to steal from the son, then the default position is the father will not harm the son. And therefore, the son doesn't assume that if he tries to kick his father out, his father will be violent towards him. And therefore, the son is not allowed to kill the father unless he sees evidence that the father is going to be violent. There are exceptions to every rule, and if he sees that this is one of the exceptions, then he's allowed to kill his father first, right? But on the other hand, if it's a son coming to rob from the father, and Rashi points out, "B'kol shekein inish da'alma," and also the other 99.999% of humanity, if it's not your father, basically, I guess all your mother, right? So then you're allowed to kill them first and ask questions later. That's the default position. So then they had a basically an anecdote. Amar Rav kol da'asi aloy b'machtarosa katil nalei levar mireb chanina barshila. Anyone who would come to my house as a machteris, I would kill him except for Reb Chanina barshila. My taima ilay mishum de tzadiku hokasi b'machtarosa. If it's because he's such a big tzaddik, then why is he breaking into my house? Ela mishum de kimli begavei de merachim alai kimerachim av al haben. Because I have enough of an established relationship that I know he will take mercy on me like a father. So we see that, number one, your father doesn't have to be such a great guy for us to say that he won't kill you. There's a difference. He doesn't have to be a tzaddik. He's robbing you. He's clearly not a big tzaddik, right? But on the other hand, he's a father. The way I heard it explained once was that, right, in life we say by a bris, Zakotan Godol Yiyah. One of the great observations of humanity is that you're eventually going to be bigger than you are at 8 days old. He says, no, that's not what it means. Zakotan Godol Yiyah. It means that right now he's a katan. The katan, the definition of a katan is a taker. An 8-day-old baby, by definition, gives nothing and takes everything. So he says, but Godol Yiyah, our bracha for you is that you should grow up to be a giver. Right, to be a giver is the ultimate kiyum of a halachta b'drachah. The Kaddish Baruch Hu has nothing that he can receive from us, and he gives us everything. So to become a giver is one of the great goals of a person's life. So perhaps, I don't know for sure, but one of the primary examples of becoming like a Kaddish Baruch Hu and becoming the ultimate giver is to become a parent. To be able to give to somebody else, it just turns you immediately from a taker into a giver, meaning technically when you get married, you should become more of a giver. But, you know, hopefully you married a woman she's an adult. She's able to take care of herself mostly. So the parts where you need to compliment one another, so you give to her, she gives to you. But when you have a kid, you get nothing. Saying you get, nachas is a shtickle overrated. So like my son was just finished, he finished Parshas Vayishlach in school today, so he was reading the psukim to me. So he was quoting some of the lists of the alufim from Esav. So he quoted the famous grandson of Esav named Nachas. So I told him that my stepfather always says because of that pasuk that when you give somebody a bracha that he should have Nachas, you should say he should have Yiddish Nachas or Torah Nachas because Esav had a grandson named Nachas. So you say you should have Nachas from your children. That's not really such a great bracha. So he said, yeah, my rebbe said the same thing today. So okay. So nachas is a shtickle overrated in the sense that whatever you're going to get back, it's not, I mean, my oldest is only 8, and I can already tell you, whatever you put in, you're not going to get it back. So you'll get what you get, right? And you tell the kids, and you don't get upset. So you get back whatever it is that you get back. So, but it's not going to equal up. A parent is a giver, and a child is a taker. So for the son to steal from the father, we say that the default position for a son is that he will kill his father because he's a taker. He's come to take his money, and if the father stands in his way, he might even go so far as to take his father's life. But the father is a giver. And just because he made one major exception to the rule by coming to take his son's money doesn't mean that he'll make the ultimate exception and take his son's life. And therefore, the default position for a giver is always that he'll give. Even when we see that he's not a great giver, He is robbing his son, but still he's be'etzim a giver. So that's the one of the standard explanations that I once heard.
They were basically saying that you really, because it doesn't make any sense. How much time do you have to turn all these things that you are before the country is gone?
So basically, we say at the end of the day. So A, if you can't see who the ganav is, I think you can go basa ruba de ruba da alma that it's not your father or your best friend. Like, or if you're rav, it's not like your patriarchal figure. In life, it's not the one other guy who's like a father to you. So he says, so you have the right to assume. But when you can see the guy, but you don't necessarily see the gun, or you don't necessarily know what his intentions are per se, you have the default position is you can kill above machtaris. And only when it's proven otherwise, meaning, yeah, let's say you have a shoplifter. So I'm the stock boy. I'm putting stuff on the shelves, and I see the shoplifter. So I'm thinking, like, if I try to stop this guy, he might kill me. So I'm just going to shoot him instead of stopping him. Like, no, the default position on a shoplifter is he'll run out of the store, right? He's not going to kill you. And so in other words, when you have, it's only when, that would be a case where it's baruch lecha kashemesh. It's clear to you that this is not a life or death situation. Right? Again, even when you thought you knew, there could be that one shoplifter who's a meshugana who goes ahead and kills you. But like, in the end of the day, you have to use your judgment, but the default position is if he's above machteris, which, you know, hopefully we'll get a chance to discuss further, but it means he put a little time and effort into it. He didn't just see an open door. Guy saw an open door, didn't necessarily make a cheshbon. Right? There's a difference in car thieves between a guy who's a pro and he's going into the car and he has his Slim Jim and he has all his tools and he knows how to hijack the car. Whereas you have another guy who, he's a joyrider. He's walking up and down the block, pulling on all the door handles to see which car is unlocked. He's not going to take the tircha of, you know, if an mamish is right there for him to take, he'll take it. But other than that, he's not willing to put in the effort. So that guy, if the owner of the car says, "Get away from my car," he's just going to run. He's not going to say, "No, this was the car that I wanted to take my joyride in, and that's it." He'll run to him, find him, go down two blocks, he'll find a different car. So that's the, you know, when it's not clear what the situation is going to be, then you have the right to kill. But in cases where the situation demands that it's a nonviolent situation, that's considered baruch lecha kashemesh. That's not a case where you're allowed to take a violent action in advance. Just wanted to bring that up because it's going to be relevant soon. So Rashi seems to say, and we'll see, the Rambam, I think, has the exact same idea. The Rambam, if you look in the first thing, the Perek Tes and Halacha Tes and Hilchos Geneva, so the Rambam has a similar vort to Rashi. He says, "Umipnei ma hitira Torah damo shel ganav?" Why did the Torah light to kill a ganav? Aval pisha baal iske mamin, even though he's not violent himself, he came to steal. Lefi shechez koso, because the ganav's chazaka is shem omad baal abayis b'fanenu umanoho yahargenu. Right, if the baal abayis stands in front of him and prevents him, meaning prevents him from stealing, then the ganav will kill the baal abayis. So in other words, again, who's the one bringing the violence into the equation? It's the ganav. V'nimtza zeh nichmas labayis chavera lignov kirodif achar chavera lahorgo lefichach yehorig bein sheyigaldo bein sheyikata bein zacher bein nikev. So he says, regardless of circumstances, he can be killed because he is becoming a rodef by simply coming into the house. But it's interesting that the way the Rambam learns the chazaka, if you look, he says, "Shilafi shechez kaso shehim amad balabayis lefanav umano yahargenu." The chazaka is that the ganav will kill the balabayis. That's not the way the Gemara formulated the chazaka. The Gemara formulated the chazaka as saying, "Ein adam mamid atzmo al mamono." A person will not stand by and watch his money get stolen. That was the chazaka. So why are we saying that the chazaka is that the ganav will kill the baal habayis? That's not the pashut shot in the Gemara. So, you hear the question?
But wasn't that the second step?
That was step two, for sure. Again, it doesn't mean the Rambam is wrong, but the Rambam is definitely learning it slightly shelo kepshuto. He's learning it as a run-on sentence. He's saying, "Ain't on the mamen atzma amamono v'hai meimar amar iazilna koil apoy v'koil apoy katilnale." Right, saying that the guy is going to get up and try to stop me, and if he does that, I will kill him. So that's the whole. It's a long sentence. That's the chazaka. But the way Rashi seems to learn is the chazaka is just that the baal habayis won't stand by and let his stuff get stolen, and that will lead to the ganav of killing him. So that's a question. We may get a chance to answer this, why the Rambam chooses to learn this way. But clearly you see the Rambam is learning like Rashi, that the baal habayis is not the one introducing the violence into the equation. The ganav is the one who's introducing the violence, and the baal habayis is reacting to that violence. Right. Right. The Rambam is basically saying that the baal habayis is not doing anything wrong here. He's saying, "Get out of my house." And the ganav says, "If this guy tries to stop me, he's in big trouble. I'm going to take him out." So this is, yeah? Right. I mean, the Gemara does it. The Gemara has the case of Katan Arodef. Katan Arodef is the number one raya that killing a rodef is the din in hatsolas hanirdof, not a onish for the rodef, right? So, okay, I have a mahalach that I like and try to explain that hopefully in a couple weeks. But take a look at the Yad Raman, the next page. The Yad Raman, the Ran, have pretty much the same thing, but they're complementary. So the Yad Raman discusses something the Ran doesn't discuss and vice versa. So it's kedai to see them both. Let's take a look at the Yad Raman here. So he says, Omar Rova, my time at the Machteris, Omar Rachmana, im Machteris Yimotze, im Ludamim, Chazok, in other Mamet Atzma Momono, Ela Toreach, Lahatzil Becholdover, Vafilu Benafsho Shilganef. So right away, he learns pshat in the chazaka much differently. His pshat is that there's a chazaka that a person will not stand by and watch his money get stolen. Rather, he will do what it takes to protect his money, even if it means killing the ganav. So right away, the Yad Raman learns the chazaka much differently. The balabayas is the one threatening the life of the ganav. And then, Bahai Ganav, and that Ganav, Kaven to Asila Mignav, since he's coming in to steal, he knows his craft, he knows what's going to happen. Vada ilav de daite le mikdale le balabayas, ki koi ba'ape lo hava asi. Had he not planned on killing the balabayas, if the balabayas gets in his face, meaning gets in his face as in trying to kill him, he wouldn't have come. The Ganav knows the psychology of the Balabatim, and he knows the Balabayas is going to threaten his life, so if he wasn't willing to fight, he wouldn't have shown up in the first place. Lefichach Amra Torah, Haba Lahorgecha Hashkem Lahorgo. Therefore, the Torah says, if someone comes to kill you, you may kill him first. So it's an interesting cheshbon. The Balabayas was the one who wants to kill the Ganav. He will do whatever it takes, right? To quote Malcolm X's famous work, by any means necessary, he will try to stop the Ganav from stealing from him, even if it means killing the Ganav. And the Ganav knows this Balabais might try to kill me. So if the fact that he's walking in the door means that he intends to be violent back, if the situation presents itself, he'll be violent right back. And the Torah says that the Ganav constitutes a rodef, and the Balabayas is a nirdaf. So the obvious kasha is, wait a minute, who's the rodef here? What do you mean the Balabayas is the nirdaf? The Balabayas is the rodef. The Balabayas is the one who introduced violence into the equation. We had a perfectly good dine mominus situation, and he turned it into dine nefashis. If the Balabayas would just, if he wants to fight with fists, or he wants to just push and try to get the guy to leave, or threaten to call the cops, or whatever it is, the Ganav will never come armed, right? That's the Svara in England. I don't know if they still have such a Svara, but back in the day, when I was a kid, they told us that the English policemen, right, they don't have guns, because the Svara is, if the police don't carry guns, the criminals won't carry guns. Is it true? I don't know. But nowadays, there's unfortunately bigger problems in England with terror, so they're not makbid on fair play. So, but Lamaisa, it's the opposite in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, a guy walks over to the storekeeper and pulls out a gun and says, give me your money. 10 people pull a gun on him and say, hey, why don't you give us your money? So there, it's a different story. But that's the reverse gun control. If you train the whole country as soldiers, then you don't have to worry about it. But the bottom line is, why isn't the Balabayas a rodef just as much as the Ganav is? So there are two ways to answer this question. Let's just flip to the Ran for a second, because his answer is quicker. So if you flip to the next page, you have the Chidushi Aran. And the Ran says he likes the Yad Ramaz Mahalach also. He says it on his own. Just quickly, the underlying part says, right away he tells you why he's not going to learn like Rashi and the Rambam. He says, Ganavim are Ganavim. They're not Rotschim. They're not coming to kill per se. V'ikoi Balabayas la'ape v'shakil mamone miyad ganav lo katile. If the Balabayas gets in the face of the Ganav and grabs back his money, the Ganav won't kill him. D'lo yachol Ganav l'mignav leizel l'navshe. If the Ganav will not be successful at stealing, he'll go on his way. Elo balabayis hu daome kinegdo almanas larogim lo yaniach lo esakele miyad. The balabayis is the one threatening to kill the ganef if he doesn't leave his stuff alone. Sha'af alpi she'engno bedin lohorgo alkach. Even though the balabayis is committing a criminal act, the balabayis has no right to kill the ganef for this. If you would stop and you would ask a shayla and you would say, listen, I have a ganav in my house. He just stole my $10,000 78-inch flat-screen TV, 3D, just came out and got it in Costco or whatever. Like, he just stole this valuable thing that I love, and, you know, this is last week, so I have a big Super Bowl party coming up, and I really need it back. So the police will say, you can't kill him to get it back. You can, we'll try to get there in time and catch him and whatever, but you can't kill him to stop him. That would be an act of murder. But the Ran says, even though it's all true that you may not kill the ganef, some people will do it anyway. Some people will kill the ganef in order to stop him. And the ganef is not thinking, I can't believe the guy would do that to me. He's thinking, I chose a very dangerous trade where some balabatim are crazy and they'll kill me. So he comes prepared. So he says, even though shelo kedin, so he says, lar horgo al kach chazaka she'ein adam ma'amid atzma ma'ana. We have such a chazaka, nevertheless. V'haganav shu yodeya zeh kishu omid kenegdo at liskei nefashos hu omid. And the ganav who knows this knows he's taking his life in his hands, and therefore he's willing to respond in kind. So now the Ran answers the kasha without asking it. He says, "V'hu shehischil b'meriva, uba b'machteres, asal hakasav rodef amar shel ein lo dam." And the ganav who started this whole thing and tunneled into the other guy's house, the Torah makes him the rodef, and says that he's the one who's chayev, not the balabais. But ein achinami. So I said to my shir, I was like, "It's, you never thought you'd hear this in a sefer, in a rishon, the old he started excuse." Right? But here it is. The Ran says, it's not your fault. He started. And therefore, even though you're the one who started with the violence, he shouldn't have broken in. If he didn't want to take his life in his own hands, he had plenty of options. He could have done anything else tonight instead of robbing your house. And then if you, whether or not you actually did it is irrelevant. If you would have threatened him, then he would have responded violently because he is afraid for his life. When any house the guy breaks into, he's afraid for his life. He knows he's alarmed, and he knows ain't holchem bepikoch nefesh acha harov. So he says, "Yeah, 9 out of 10 balabatim won't kill me, but 1 out of 10 will. So I'm coming armed to all 10. I'm not taking my life in my hands just to make a few $1,000. And therefore, he comes armed to every single one. And if you try to stop him, he doesn't know to differentiate between he's not going to sit there cheshbening, avala ben alav, I don't know, maybe yes, maybe no. He's going to just kill you. So memela, you're allowed to kill him first. It's not his fault. It's that one crazy balabais's fault. The answer is, it's his fault because he started. Even if you are that one crazy balabais, even if you would have killed him, that's irrelevant. He started with you. So that's the way the Ran wants to look at it. Right.
He's not coming to kill you.
No, he's coming to kill you now. He's coming to kill you now. Meaning, you're going to try to stand up to him. Whether you were planning on being violent or not is really an irrelevancy at this point because he thinks in the back of his mind, this guy might be one of the violent ones. And then he's going to kill you first when you try to stop him. Really, the Me'ikar Adin, you have the right to try to stop him only. But that's not what's going to end up happening. Okay, so that's the Ran's take on it, meaning I want to learn this way, not like Rashi. And he tells you why he doesn't want to learn this way. He says, because who says that every ganav is violent? I'd say half the ganavim are not violent, right? Or more, I don't know the percentages. You could ask the police, they'll tell you what are the chances that the guy's violent. But so we're going to make a chazaka that the guy's definitely going to kill you? That's the way the Rambam says, there's a chazaka, the guy's going to kill you. Really? That's such a strong chazaka that the guy's going to kill you? Ad kedei kach, that you can kill based on that chazaka? So he says, no, the chazaka is on the balabais. And ain't achinami. The chazaka is that no balabais will let his stuff get stolen. And on the flip side, some will be violent. So because of those some which will who will be violent, the ganav will be violent in kind when he comes to rob you. So Mamela, he's a violent criminal. And therefore, since he's the one who started, you can kill him. The Arama says something similar. He says something similar in answering this same question. He asks the question straight out and then answers it a little bit differently. It's a weird formulation. He's usually a very, very clear writer. He's very verbose, which is makes it very... There's only really the Yad Ramah. We only have it on Sanhedrin and Bava Basra. He wrote on probably every Masechta, but we only have it on Sanhedrin and Bava Basra. But it's great for learning Bikias because he really is very verbose and he elaborates on the Gemaras a lot. So it gets annoying sometimes if you just want to see his pshat, but it helps a lot when you're just trying to understand the Gemara. So here, he's a little verbose. He says, going back to about the line above where footnotes 145 and 146 are, says, "V'chitema imkain havale balabayis nami rodef." So he says the same kasha. Wait a minute, if the balabayis is the one introducing the violence, he's also a rodef. So no, balabayis lav rodef. The balabayis is not a rodef. Imishum dekata lehashta, what, you're going to say because he's killing him now, he's a rodef? Mishum de asi iu lemikdale hu dekatale. The balabais is only killing the ganav because the ganav is violent. My amrit ilav chazaka neinanim mamet atzma mamona lohave asi iu adaita lemikdale. But you could argue, yeah, but I, the ganav, would never have been violent had you not been violent first. There's a chazaka that you might be violent, so mameila I'm violent. So it's really your fault. He says, not me, komakom balabayis lo ka'ovid hashtav lo midi. So he says, what, you're going to argue that you have the right to be violent because of a hypothetical violence on my part? What's the ganav's argument? Some balabatim are violent in their, you know, in their retention of their own money. So you might kill me to stop me. So mamela, I'm coming looking to kill you. That's an argument? Balabayis says, I didn't do anything to you. I didn't try to stop you even. So don't tell me that I might have been violent and that makes me the rodef. He's saying, in the end of the day, I didn't actually do anything. You're the one who came and assumed I would be violent. But you would have to prove that I was actually violent towards you to make yourself the near death. Did you catch that, Cheshman? It's a little convoluted. But there's a big nafkamina, I think, between the Yad Ramah and the Ran. The Ran says, even though, yeah, it is my fault, it is the Balabais' fault, I'm still in the right because you shouldn't have broken into my house. So, Eina Chinami, I could have introduced violence first, and it is my fault, but if you don't want to get killed, don't come through the threshold of my front door. So he says, that's like they had this case, I don't know if you saw it on the internet, they were going around a couple of weeks ago, that the woman with her child was a single teenage single mother. She apparently was a gun aficionado who had two guns on her at the time. She saw two guys. She said one of them probably has a knife. She called 911 and asked if she's allowed to kill them. The operator was somewhat noncommittal. Said, I'm not going to tell you to kill anybody, but you do what you have to do to protect your child. So she shot them when they walked in the front door. She shot one, and the other one, when he saw his friend dead on the floor, surrendered. You know, Pashtus is they weren't looking to kill anybody. She probably wasn't even protecting her child by doing so. But she was saying, if they step into my home, and I don't know what they're going to do, do I have the right to shoot them first? And so the answer was, yes, they should not be coming into your home. That sounds very much like the Ran. Meaning, this guy, she said that he had some kind of a hunting knife. I can't imagine you're coming in there to murder two people with a hunting knife. He probably just was a drug addict looking for some money to buy drugs or whatever. And if the balabais would have tried to scare him off, he would have run. But in the end of the day, the Ran says, even though it is your fault, now that you pulled a shotgun on him, he probably will try to stab you. Now he's going to try to stab you, you can kill him. So just cut out the middleman and kill him first. That's the Ran's way of looking at it. That's, I think what this lady did was most in conjunction with the Ran. Meaning, he shouldn't have come in if he didn't want to get killed. So that being said, the Yad Ramah, I don't think, would agree with that. The Yad Ramah would say, listen, you're putting it on me because you're calling me the violent one and you're just responding to me. But how do you know I was going to be violent? How do you know I would have tried to stop you by killing you? Right? So the Yad Ramah would say, if you're really the one who introduced the violence, so Einachinami, the Ganav is the Nirdaf and you are the Rodef. It's only because you can never prove it. You can never prove it because this whole cheshbon only exists in the hypothetical that you can say that I never did anything against you to make you violent. You came and were violent because you thought I might be violent first. That's not my problem. That's your problem. So the Yad Ramah would say, in a case where you actually know in advance who's starting with the violence, then you have the right to say that the Bala Bais is in the wrong. You can say the Bala Bais should not have done it. And last but not least, the Yad Ramah ends off, and he says you can't learn like Rashi. So he says, V'lo matzina lemeimar dehay dekamar chazak enin mamam en atzma mono delahatzola ba'alma hu v'lav latzulei benashol shel ganav. You can't say that the chazaka is the guy will try to save his money, and it doesn't mean what I say, that the guy will try to kill the ganav to save his money. Dimkein akati mino yadina dedaite de ganav lemikdalei lebalabayis ki eich ledani karodev. How do we know that the ganav wants to kill the balabayis to stop him, that we're going to call him a rodev? Right? The ganav will say, and I'll just summarize it, the ganav will say, listen, if I can succeed in overpowering him and getting his stuff, I will, and if not, I'll run. How do we know what the chazaka is that every ganav is a rodef? That's the Rambam says, yeah, but the Yad Ramah and the Ran are not buying it. So that's the basic machlokas Rishonim about what is the chazaka. Without getting, there's a nice shtickle if you want to see it, it's a short piece in the Evan HaOzler. This is Zalman Meltzer explains why the Rambam learns the chazaka a little differently. Just wanted to say over one interesting thing that I saw. So everybody has this big kasha against Rashi. I didn't see this. I heard this once from one of our Merbeim, B'Shem Rav Salvechik, that everyone has this big kasha on Rashi. Your chazaka is not a chazaka. What are you? There's a chazaka. People won't watch their stuff get stolen. Man, it's not a chazaka. I don't need a din in the Torah to tell me that. So the Rambam solves the problem by saying, no, the chazaka is going on the hemshech. It's going on the ganav. The chazaka is that when you try to stop him, the ganav will try to kill you. And the Yad Ramah and the Ran say, no, the chazaka is that the Baal Bais will be violent in trying to stop you. That's the chazaka. But Rashi doesn't learn that way. I said the chazaka is you won't let people steal from you. So I heard B'Shem Rav Soloveitchik that the pshat is not the chazaka is that people will try to protect their money. What about the standard scenario that the police will tell you? If you hear someone in your house, hide under the bed, hide in the closet, pretend you're sleeping. Just don't escalate the situation. You're going to end up on the receiving end. Don't escalate the situation. You just play it cool, right? So I always have that option, but let's say I know I can get the jump on the guy. I know that he doesn't realize that I know he's there, and I'm a trained whatever, and he's maybe yes, maybe no. So I feel pretty confident that I can take him. So now I have two choices. I can hide in the closet and keep it at Dine Mominus, or I can try to take him out, given my rights, that if I would make myself visible to him, he'd probably kill me. So what's the pshat? So our Soloveitchik says the chazaka is not a chazaka as in a ruba delesa kamon. It's a chazaka as he has these concepts of an existential reality. He has this time, some chazakas are like that. He says, the chazaka is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling me, I don't have to hide under the bed if I don't want to. I have the right to stand up for my money. That's going to lead to a situation of him becoming a rodef and him ending up dead. So is that on me? The answer is no. The chazaka tells me that I have the right to do this, and this behavior is considered normal. He's the one acting abnormally by becoming a rodef. I am not acting abnormally by trying to stop him. So that's basically the way you could learn Rashi as saying that the chazaka is that I'm allowed to do this, and I don't have to say, well, if I'm just a nice guy about the whole thing, then no one will get hurt, and I'll just have to collect from the insurance. You know, that's perhaps another way to understand the chazaka.
What is another connection to the Ben Sora Mora? What is Nidam Sofa to us? I mean, that the Torah is testifying what human behavior is.
Right. So this is also human behavior for the Baal Bais. Right, I hear it. Very nice. Okay, shkach.